This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. What is it that brings hope to the person who has forgotten what happiness is, who's bereft of peace, whose mind goes over and over and over again what has happened?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I'm sure that we have a number of people listening today who can identify with what they just heard. They feel like their happiness is gone. They are wondering how they're going to endure faithfully in the Christian life. And they're wondering, okay, what do I call to mind in an experience like this?
Yeah, that's right. And if you are in the valley of sorrow and loss today, I'm just so glad that you are listening to the program. Did you know that God has given to us an entire book of the Bible that is addressed to the experience that you're right in the middle of, the experience of grief and loss? And boy, does this describe where you are? I have forgotten what happiness is. My endurance has perished. My soul is bereft of peace. I mean, that's grief, isn't it? You don't have a sense of peace. Your energy's gone. It's just been sapped, and you can't even remember what it was like to be happy. Well, God's word addresses the reality of where you are. You know, it's a marvelous thing that God speaks to every circumstance of life, and he shines his light of hope into the darkest places. And that's what we're going to look at today, which is why I'm so glad that you are listening to the program. And you know, where are you to find hope? The ultimate hope of a Christian, of course, is heaven. But for a person who's really in the midst of sorrow, the question is, how do I get through today? And the way that you're going to get through today is this: the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's what you can call to mind in order to have hope, that God has sufficient mercy for you to get through today. Now, Steve, that's a little bit heavy, perhaps. Sure. Not everyone's in a place of great darkness, but you know what? Every one of us, at some point in our lives,
we
come to
it.
A place yeah. of grief and sorrow and loss. And, you know, the Bible speaks to the realities of life.
Yeah.
And God walks with us in the darkest of places. And today we're going to look at what it's like to find hope when we desperately need to find it.
Well, join us in the book of Lamentations. We are in chapter 3 as we continue the message, Hope and Healing. Here is Pastor Colin.
Now, here's the question that I've been asking as I've been pondering Lamentations chapter 3. Jerusalem was the most blessed city on the face of the earth, and Lamentations records the grief of the people when it's utterly and completely and destroyed. This is the place where God has put his name. This is the place where the temple was, where God's presence came down. This is the great place to which so many promises have been attached, and now it's a heap of rubble and a heap of ruins. Now, what would you expect the message of hope to be in Lamentations? See, we know from the Bible story that 70 years later, after this catastrophe, there was a generation of God's people led by Ezra and Nehemiah who came back to the ruined city and rebuilt its walls and rebuilt the temple, and a new community was established. So you might expect that as a comfort and a hope for the grieving people in Lamentations, that God would say, well, now, 70 years from now, there's going to be a new community in Jerusalem rebuilt. The gates are going to be rehung. The temple's going to be rebuilt. Houses will be constructed. Children will play in the street again. But you don't find anything like that in the book of Lamentations. Why not? Because it's in other prophecies of the Old Testament that this would happen. Then there's something else. As you roll forward the Bible story, many of you know that when you come to the end in the book of Revelation in chapter 21, John was given this marvelous vision of the new Jerusalem coming down out from heaven, coming down from God. The new Jerusalem that wasn't simply Jerusalem rebuilt, but Jerusalem made perfect.
a holy city in which there would be no more crying, no more mourning, no more death, and no more pain. Now you say, well, you wouldn't expect that in Lamentations because that's in the New Testament. Well, wait a minute. In other prophets in the Old Testament, you have exactly that anticipation of the ultimate perfected Jerusalem in which there will be no more tears. For example, in Isaiah in chapter 65 and verse 19, God says, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. That's in the Old Testament. And it's referring, of course, to the New Jerusalem, the completion of God's ultimate purpose. But there isn't anything about that in the book of Lamentations. Why not? And surely the reason is this, that while the fulfillment of God's ultimate purpose is very wonderful, to a grieving person, it may seem a very long way off indeed. The grieving person isn't so much thinking about, well, one day I will be in heaven. The grieving person is asking this question, how am I going to get through the next hour, the next day, and the next week? What's the hope not for tomorrow? Where's the hope for me today? Now, if you look at verse 19, here's where the grieving person is in the book of Lamentations. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten, verse 18, what happiness is. My endurance has perished. Any grieving person knows about this. I'm just tired all the time. I don't have any inclination to do things. I've lost energy. Everything seems like an enormous effort to me. My soul continually remembers affliction, verse 20. Anyone in this congregation who has experienced trauma or anyone who has suffered violence, you know exactly what this is about. My soul remembers it continually. The flashbacks that come when you're in the car and when you're in the shower, and when you're in your bed at night, my soul just goes over and over and over these awful memories. And then we have these extraordinary words of verse 21. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. You say, now, what does the person who's grieving, exhausted, has suffered trauma, what do they call to mind that they have hope? And the answer to that here isn't the ultimate hope of heaven. What is it that brings hope to the person who has forgotten what happiness is, who's bereft of peace, whose mind goes over and over and over again what has happened? Here's what it is. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You see, that's the hope that God gives to the person who's asking the question, how am I going to get through the next hour? How am I going to get through the next day? How am I going to get through the next week? Isn't this wonderful? God gives us an ultimate hope, and he gives us an immediate hope. He gives us a hope for tomorrow, and he gives us a hope for today. One member of our grief group said that in the early days of her grief after losing her son, she felt like she was sinking in a pit. And she said, I kept thinking to myself, I'm going down. How am I going to get out? It seemed like there was nothing firm underneath her feet. And this was what she said. I learned to thank God for the smallest things. I thanked him when the sky was blue. I thanked him that the sun was shining. If I heard a bird sing, I thanked God that there was a bird that was singing. And she said, I found that every time I thanked God, it was as if I put a tiny step forward towards climbing out of that awful pit. So do you see the focus of hope for those who are trying to put a life together in the ruins and the rubble of the city of Jerusalem in Lamentations? What is it? It's the hope of God's immediate presence. It's the recognition of God's mercies that are new every morning. Your Redeemer is faithful and true. He has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Now, here's the last thing this morning, and it's very important. The question that this obviously raises in the mind of any grieving or suffering person is this: how can I really believe that God, who has brought such pain into my life, is actually for me, and that his mercies towards me are new every morning? In other words, if I can put it this way, how can the person who says verse 15, he has filled me with bitterness, oh, God's brought things that are so bitter into my life, how can that person also say verse 22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases? How can you recognize the steadfast love of the Lord when you've experienced that which is bitter? Or to put it another way, how can the person in verse 16, the person who says, he has made my teeth grind on gravel, isn't that a picture? You can almost feel that when you say that. He's made my teeth grind on gravel. Ugh. Well, if that's your experience, that life's that hard, that harsh, that repulsive, how can the person who says that also say verse 23, his mercies are new every morning? Or to put it one other way, if you look at verse 32, the last verse that was read this morning, which brings these two things together, how can the person who says that God has caused grief also say and know that he will have compassion? That's verse 32. Though he cause grief, yet he will have compassion. How in the world do you hold these two things together? God has caused grief in my life. How am I now also to believe that he, the same God, will have compassion? That's the question. And it's right here before us in the book of Lamentations.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Hope and Healing, part of a larger series called For All Who Grieve. And you know, when Pastor Colin preached this series, it was incredibly impactful, so much so that he decided to write a book by that same title and also shared some of the experiences and stories of the group that met in his home that he's referenced in the series. This book is a powerful book that you could give to someone who you know is going through a season of grief, or to read for yourself. We'd love to send you a copy of this book, For All Who Grieve, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. Open the Bible is listener-supported. It is your generosity that keeps this program on the station, but we want to send you the book, For All Who Grieve, as our way of saying thanks for your support. Find out more or give online at openthebible.org or call us at 877-OPEN-365. That's 877-673-6365, or again, openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Let me tell you this story that I found very helpful. In November of 2013, the Philippines were hit by the strongest typhoon ever recorded at landfall. It brought an awful tragedy. 6,500 people lost their lives, though that was the official number, and it was widely recognized that many more not accounted for would have died in that awful disaster. More than a million people were made homeless as their homes and their livelihoods destroyed. Christopher Wright, who has a marvelous book on Lamentations, records the story of a young girl who managed to reach one of the evacuation centers just as the storm was hitting land. So here's the water that is now washing up over the land at tremendous force and in tremendous volume. And as the waters rush in, this little girl's mother shouts to her to get up to a higher floor in this evacuation center to which they had made their way. And as the waters are coming rushing in towards this building, this little girl shouted out, "Jesus, Tamalapo! Jesus, Tamalapo!" Which means, "Jesus, please, enough." And as she shouted, someone, I guess one of the rescuers working the evacuation center, lifted her to safety and she wonderfully survived. Now, think with me for a moment about the instinctive cry of that little girl. "Jesus, Tamalapo, Jesus, please, enough." Instinctively, that little girl held together in that spontaneous cry two very profound truths. One, that God brings disaster. She's not someone who thinks that a storm blows by random chance. If you believe in a sovereign God, you're not going to escape this, that somehow the hand of God is behind the hardest things in life as well as the best. And she recognizes that, and that's why she asks Jesus to stop. "Jesus, please, enough!" But at the same time as recognizing that God brings disaster, she also, in this spontaneous cry, recognizes that God delivers from disaster. That even where the worst things happen, even when the greatest grief is brought into a person's life, even in this disaster, she believes that God is for her in such a way that she can ask him for help. "Jesus, please, enough." Intuitively, she held together the two parts of Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 32. "Though he cause grief, yet he will have compassion." So she cries out, "Jesus, Tamalapo. Jesus, please, enough." Now, how is it possible for her to hold these things together? Though God causes grief, yet he will have compassion. Here's how she can hold these two things together. Because she has come to know God by the name of Jesus. Jesus. Tamalapo. You know, there are whispers of the name of Jesus all over the book of Lamentations, but never more so than in chapter 3. Verse 1, "I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath." Can you hear that in the mouth of Jesus as he went under the rod of divine wrath and bore the very wrath of God for us? "I'm the man," he says. Or verse 30, "Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes." That's what Jesus did as they slapped him and abused him so horribly in that which was held up as a trial. Or verse 14, "I have become the laughingstock of all peoples, the object of their taunts all day long." Verse 14, that's what happened to Jesus as he was nailed there to the cross, and they're laughing and they're taunting. You say, "You're the Son of God, come down if God wants you." Or perhaps most of all, verse 8 of this extraordinary chapter, where the one who suffers, the one who has known what it is to stand for us under the very wrath of God and give his cheek to those who strike and be laughed at, he says, "Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer." And do you remember how that too was the experience of Jesus? My God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, you see, the reason that the little girl intuitively was able to hold together the God who causes grief and the God who has compassion is that she knows God by the name of Jesus, and at the cross, God brings grief to Jesus and he shows compassion through Jesus. And you see, that's where our hope lies. Jesus went to the cross so that God's mercy would reach you in the hardest days of your life, and so that God's love would hold you in the darkest days of your life. And it is through Jesus Christ that we have the hope of God's ultimate purpose and the hope of God's immediate presence. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. His mercies never come to an end. So thank God for the little mercies. The sky is blue, the sun shines, a bird sings. But let the little mercies that are multiple in every life lead you to call to mind the great mercy. And what is the great mercy? It is that the Son of God loved you and gave himself for you. Call that to mind, and you will have hope. You really will. Because it's in Christ that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are for you in Jesus Christ, new every morning. For great is his faithfulness.
Well, what a great truth that is as we wrap up this time together. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Hope and Healing. It's part of a series where we're taking a look at the Book of Lamentations. The series is called For All Who Grieve. And if you've missed any of the broadcasts in the series, you can always come and listen at our website. Stop by openthebible.org and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen to Pastor Colin's teaching on the go if you have the Open the Bible app. That's also free. You'll find it when you go to your favorite app store and search for Open the Bible, or we'll link you to it through our website. Again, that is openthebible.org. Well, Pastor Colin's teaching is able to be on this station because of your generosity, so thank you for giving and supporting this ministry. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a book written by Pastor Colin. It's called For All Who Grieve. And Colin, what in this book is something that you hope someone who is grieving will take away?
Well, you know, I think when we experience loss in life, we often feel that God is at a distance. You know, what does God know about this? And where is God in all of this? And sometimes we feel that he is very, very far away indeed. But, you know, the thing that's been most striking to me in pondering the Book of Lamentations and the journey through grief that we all at some time in our lives have to endure, what's been most striking to me is that Jesus knows about the path of sorrows. He's described in the Bible as the man of sorrows who is acquainted with grief. So no one wants to walk on the path of sorrow and loss. But, you know, when you do, you're walking at a place where Jesus Christ himself can be found. He walks sorrow's path. He's very familiar with it. And Steve, my greatest motivation in writing this book is to try and help and encourage people who are going through grief, sorrow, and loss to find the company of Jesus Christ as they walk this very difficult and painful path.
Well, we would love to send you a copy of Pastor Colin's book, For All Who Grieve. It's our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can find out more or give online at openthebible.org or call us at 877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. If there is only someone who could know the extent of my grief and sorrow, have you ever said or thought this? Pastor Colin Smith talks about the counselor who can when you join us next time for Open the Bible.